All right, welcome everyone to a post-New Hampshire edition of FrontRidge.com Stock Car Scoop. I'm your host, Adam Cheek. With me, you last heard him a couple of months ago, is Mike Bachman. You heard him with Michael Finley, but this time you're solo on the podcast. Mike, how you doing?
Good, Adam. Thanks for having me on again. Excited to break down the next gen's debut here at New Hampshire.
Yeah, and that's the first thing I wanted to talk about, because we really didn't have a predecessor for this. We had, you know, Gateway's kind of flat. We had a couple of shorter tracks. We had Gateway is a mile and a third or whatever it is, and Martinsville is a half mile. And you have tracks that are kind of similar to Gateway, but nothing that's similar in every respect. And the next gen debut, there was some racing throughout. There were some solid battles. I don't think it was as chaotic racing wise as Xfinity was yesterday or on Saturday. But what were your thoughts on how this racing went?
Yeah, well, I definitely think coming into this, myself especially, didn't necessarily have the highest hopes for the on-track product, right? I mean, I love New Hampshire. I've been to New Hampshire a number of times. Really love the racetrack and the racing that they have put on there. But obviously, you know, with this next-gen car, the main lacking part of it has been on short track. So I just think coming into it, not to set the bar terribly high, was a good thing, because like you said, it was a solid race all around. We were able to get kind of pocket battles throughout the race. Pit strategy certainly was one thing that helped dictate this race as well. But all in all, you know, I think we got a very decent race with this next gen car. There were a lot of different players, especially in that third stage. You know, the first two stages dominated by Martin Truex Jr., swept them both. But then that third stage, you know, the long green flag run, and we had some varying pit strategies, you know, with tire wear and other guys with some fuel strategy as well, certainly helped the narrative there. But in the end, it is Christopher Bell who just continues his dominance here at New Hampshire. He had those three straight in the Xfinity Series, finished runner up in this race last year. And man, he really managed the end of this race very, very well, able to get past Chase Elliott and hold strong there to get that win, with now just two spots remaining in the playoff 16. It's going to get crazy here with six races remaining, but I'm sure we'll be talking about it later on. But, you know, all in all, was decently happy with the way that New Hampshire ran, and excited for Christopher Bell punching his ticket into the postseason.
Every few years, it seems like New Hampshire is this weird winner, because Christopher Bell, he's run okay all year, but never really been a huge factor in races until today. Finally gets a win this season. He had one last year at the Daytona Road Course. New Hampshire last year had Eric Almirola winning, which was a surprise. And then a while before that, almost 10 years ago, Brian Vickers winning. So some weird winners at this place. But Bell gets the job done today, and we've got six races left until the playoffs. And this is something, I feel like it's an echo chamber every couple of weeks on this podcast. We're talking about this, but we kind of have to. Six races left, Pocono's a triangle. You got two road courses, a super speedway, a 2 mile, a short track. There's so many different tracks. But do we hit that 16 winner mark? Do we fall short and get 15? Do we get more and get 17? How chaotic is this going to be heading to Daytona? And do we hit that mark at Daytona? Does someone create even more drama with a win at Daytona?
Yeah, well, I think you're definitely going to see the intensity amped up here over the next few weeks, because you look at guys today, a guy like Ryan Blaney, who was non-existent virtually all day. And, you know, coming into this race, I think was looking for a lot more speed. And coming into this race, I think in the regular season standings is second behind Chase Elliott. Obviously, with the playoff standings, he's now sitting, I would believe, in 15th with Truex there on the bubble. Martin Truex Jr. as well, you know, dominated the first two stages. Unfortunately, that two-tire pit stop with him, and you throw Harvick in there as well, kind of getting shuffled back into dirty air, not really used to the car being there all day, and they were really not able to do anything. He comes away with a fourth place, Harvick with a fifth place, but you know both of those guys were battling for the win, and they knew that they had to come away with the win. This was probably Harvick's best chance at getting a win this year. But Truex as well, you know, you look at those three drivers right there, Blaney, Truex, and Harvick. With these six races left, I mean, like you said, we have Pocono next weekend, which is a complete, you don't know how the next-gen car is going to perform there. The Indy Road Course, Michigan, obviously Richmond, Watkins Glen, and then Daytona. You know, you could have a guy, you know, like let's just say like a Corey LaJoie, right, who has done extremely well on Super Speedway so far this year, that could come in at Daytona and just steal this. But to answer your question here, Adam, I just feel like we have to hit that 16 different winner mark, because I feel like Ryan Blaney's got to get one before, before the end of the regular season. And I think if Truex is able to at least salvage a run like this and just close the deal, he could get into victory lane as well. So I do think that we're going to hit it. I mean, there's six races left. There's two spots. With just the parity of this season and the next-gen car, you have no idea who's going to come out on top. And, you know, outside of Chase Elliott putting together this run over the summer, now with four straight top two finishes and, you know, even more so creating his buffer heading into the postseason, which is going to help him immensely and trying to lock up that regular season championship as well. You know, you're going to see guys really starting to push the issue. But outside of that, you really haven't seen one driver pull away and take the reign this year. It's been very, 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 very balanced so far. And I just feel like we're going to continue to see that. And I do think that we'll hit 16 different winners. I just feel like we have to. You know, this is the year. It's probably not going to happen. You know, we'll probably fall short or something. But I definitely think that, you know, if it's any year, it's going to be this year, just with how the entire regular season has played out so far.
And you mentioned we haven't really seen anyone able to establish dominance. Like, yeah, Chase has had this incredible run these last few weeks, but you still see guys like Christopher Bell was able to get to him, pass him, and win this race. It's not Chase is out front, he's gone, like kind of like Larson was last year. And you saw Kurt Busch have a chance at the lead for a while, and Logano and all these guys, and Truex dominated, but he wasn't able to get it done. Shows he can still have the speed and win. I mean, we're coming up to Richmond where he's won before. He's won at the Glen before. But there was a lot of contact and conflict throughout the field. In particular, one incident, we saw Denny Hamlin and Ross get close to having blows again. Nothing came of that. But then under caution, Austin Dillon comes up, hits Brad Keselowski. Keselowski hits him back and sends him into the infield grass in the inside of turn three. Do we see this tiny little incident crop up again in the coming weeks with Brad needs a points boost to essentially have a guaranteed top 30 finish and needs a win, which we could see him get at Daytona, which he got one at Daytona in the duels this year. But Dylan also needs a win. He's in the top 30 solidly, but he also needs a win. So do we see this crop up again, or are these two guys going to completely block that out and focus on playoff pursuit?
Well, it was certainly one of the more bizarre situations. There really wasn't much context behind it. It was just kind of like, you know, you're under caution and then camera flashes to Dylan and Keselowski and Keselowski's ready to take him out. And there really was no predecessor, I think, to what triggered Austin Dillon, driving into Keselowski. And obviously Keselowski retaliated. I don't know if that necessarily is going to carry over. It's just such a tough situation to dissect because you don't have that background or that context, right? But for Keselowski, you know, his best chance is going to be at Daytona in that final race. Austin Dillon, man, the past few weeks he has had, you know, he had the run-in with Ross Chastain just a week ago. Obviously, with the news of his teammate Tyler Reddick, you know, joining 2311 in 2024, it's been a real rough few weeks for Austin Dillon. But I don't necessarily see this carrying over per se. The Hamlin and Chastain stuff, though, you know, Chastain is going to continue to drive the way he does. And he should, right? He has to own it. And, you know, a driver like that in NASCAR is kind of something that, I mean, I want to see. I want that aggression. Obviously, pushes the issue a little bit too far at times. And it's going to come back to haunt him at some point. But, you know, it was good to see him and Denny battle. And that's certainly obviously something we are going to have to keep our eye on, especially as we get into the playoffs. And depending on where Chastain and Hamlin domino into that and how far they get, boy, we could be seeing some fireworks for sure.
Usually we do three questions, but I'm going to tack on a fourth because there's another pressing thing here. Christopher Bell gets the win. Bubba Wallace gets third. Bubba's best run of the year, I think, overall. You know, Daytona, he finished second. But in terms of, you know, a track that's not a super speedway and putting together a complete race, and they just switched pit crews a few weeks ago. How impactful is this for both of those teams as, you know, Bubba theoretically has a shot to get into the playoffs, you know, if he can get a win at Daytona or pull off something at one of the other tracks? It's certainly been a frustrating year, so that's less likely than, you know, Bell winning at this point in time, which he just did. But how impactful is this for both of these guys?
Well, for Bubba, for starters, it has to be an immense confidence booster. Coming into New Hampshire, a track that he had never finished inside the top 20, I think it was Marty Snyder on the broadcast said in today's race, he was inside the top 10 for all but 45 laps of this thing. You know, had a great qualifying effort. It was obviously a race, you know, that was dictated by track position. But Bubba was able to, you know, especially at the end, he really drove through the field there quite well. And it has to be a breath of fresh air for that guy because, you know, that 23 team has had speed at a number of different tracks this year. They just haven't been able to put it together on pit road. Even last weekend, he struggled on pit road a little bit with the first race with the pit crew swap. So, you know, for both Bell and Bubba to be the beneficiaries of this this weekend here at New Hampshire, it has to be a breath of fresh air for Bubba especially. Now, for Christopher Bell, you know, this is a track that we've talked about where he's extremely dominant, has shown his prowess on it. So, you know, that definitely has a lot to say about it. Certainly more impactful for Bubba in the sense of where he's at right now, especially in points. But if he could continue to put together these runs, you know, he might be able to take one at one of these tracks before Daytona, because 2311 has had speed. You know, even Kurt Busch led a bunch of laps today and was up there for most of the race, comes away with a 10th place finish. Hasn't necessarily had the consistency, but they just have to put together a full race. And for Bubba, it's been on pit road that has been the Achilles heel all year. So hopefully they'll be able to kind of take this into next week and just build on it from here to try and get into victory lane.
Yeah, and we heard NASCAR on NBC's reporter Kim Coon ask Bubba, and he essentially said, like, the past month has been hell for him, and I don't blame him. I don't disagree. He's had a horrendous year luck-wise. He's had some good runs come crashing to an end at Atlanta and Talladega, getting crashed, like, right at the line. So certainly great to see them. Certainly a great run for them to see them back in the top 10 and everything. So, Mike Bachman, thanks so much for joining this episode of Stock Car. It's good. Great to have you back on. Looking forward to the next one. And appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Adam. Good talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can check out all of our coverage at the track. Amy Henderson was there at New Hampshire. You can check out all of our coverage on frontstretch.com. Check out Stock Car Scoop coming up on Friday as we preview Pocono.